Me and Pastor want to go camping up on top of the Blue Mountain when they're calling for a foot of snow. Right, Pastor? He said he would go. Pastor said he would go. That was on his bucket list. He said, you would have to carry me out, that's for sure. Let's all turn to, let me see. Oh, what I got to do is I forgot. I'm getting out of order here. I'm getting myself all for schnoogled. I'm going to ask, Brother Ralph, would you please open our service with a word of prayer?
All right, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you again for the opportunity to be in your house again tonight.
Yes.
Pray that you would guide and direct each aspect of the service. And pray that you would be pleased with all that's said and done. We do pray that you would use Pastor, guide and direct him in what you have him say. And may we receive the word and be obedient to it and apply it to our hearts and lives. Help us not to be like the example in the Bible where they looked in the mirror and just ignored what they saw, and then everybody was wondering what's wrong with that person. They look terrible. We don't want to be that kind of person spiritually. So help us to, when you point out those areas in our lives that are not pleasing to you or need growth or work or change, whatever it might be, we pray that we would be yielded to your Spirit in those things. Give us a good evening. We thank you for the opportunity to be together and have fellowship one with another and to worship you most importantly. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. If you would, please stand.
Can you open that door back up here, brother?
Oh, I closed. Back
to the reason that I kept the door because of the beautiful breeze, but I want to sing out tonight so that people hear us. Because I was over here the other day and I heard some things that weren't too nice. And it was pretty loud. So we've got to return the favor here. Well, so people can hear us sing.
Can we open the side windows?
No.
I'll really give them yelling. Jim, sing nice and loud back there. Everybody stand singing. Hymn number 500, all for Jesus. Hymn number 500. 682. 682. Where the gates swing outward never. 682.
I mentioned it Sunday morning this morning that we won't be able to get the t-shirts. And what happened was is that the band director that normally handles the sponsorships that they do for the band. Anyways, the company he was using, misread his contract, so to speak, to where they didn't want anything religious on there, which doesn't surprise me. But I did have a good opportunity to talk with the band director, and just pray for him. His name's Mr. Arnold, but it's not going to work out for us to have those to get on those t-shirts. So that's what happened with that. Lord willing, next Sunday morning after the service, we're going to have another meeting discussing the incorporation thing. I said this morning I was able to talk to a lawyer this week for quite a bit, and he gave me a lot of useful information. He works with churches down there in Harrisburg. He's also was associated with Brother David Gibbs in his ministry, but he separated from him to start his own practice in Harrisburg. So, Lord willing, next Sunday I'll discuss more about that. And it was a blessing to have Brother Neil here this morning. Got a chance to take him out for lunch, and his family is just a blessing. His daughters were adorable. He's definitely got a heart for his people and trying to get over there and get them the gospel. And so please just keep him in prayer as he travels around and tries to raise support and for a place for him to live as well over there in Pakistan. Once he does get an opportunity to get over there, that God will provide him the right place for him to be able to minister to the people there in Pakistan. So, amen.
Amen, brother. All right. Let's turn to our last song. I'll make it easy for you. Song number 2. Psalm number 2. Come thou almighty King. Let's all stand. Sing our last song together.
to save by his power divine. Come anchor your soul in the haven of rest and say, my beloved is mine. I've anchored my soul in the haven of rest. I'll sail the wide seas no more. The tempest may sweep o'er the wild stormy deep.
I got thinking this evening, I don't know about you, but where I live, so often there is a lot of loud motorcycles, right? A lot of loud music. Sometimes you try to talk on the phone and somebody's going by and you can hear their car 10 miles away. You know, I just thought a good... I wasn't talking about you, brother. No, you got a lot of things in the world where people blast it and you got to hear me and all this. Why not? It's a beautiful day today. Have the air come through the church and sing out, and maybe somebody walking by, God will deal with them. Just maybe that there is life in the church. You know, a lot of people look at church as just something that's dead and cold and just mere religion. But yet what we have this evening is something to sing about, not just to sing about it, to be joyous about a Savior that provides an anchor for your soul. In a harbor that's safe and secure from the storms of life. What a God we serve. What a God we serve. What a God we have to praise and glorify, lift up and magnify his precious name. What a Savior we have. Amen. So if you take your Bible, if you have your Bible this evening, we're going to continue on in our study in 1 Thessalonians, book of 1 Thessalonians, chapter number 4, 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4. And you know, some of the things that Brother Anil was mentioning this morning, I wrote a few of them down, and he talked about how his country and is dealing with a spirit of spiritualism, you know, with those, with the, I would call them nothing more than witch doctors, you know, those Hindu and Buddhist priests. And they talk about how drugs are creeping in and, you know, the drugs influence how they worship their gods and their deities. The blasphemy law. And then you even take about some of the things that are happening with their young ladies, their young women. Some of those things that's almost can picture United States of America in some senses as well, outside of the blasphemy law. But you know that's coming soon. Right? A type of law that would prohibit for us to say what the Bible says for us to say. And if you do say what the Bible says, you'll be accused of blasphemy or not being tolerant, and there'll be consequences for it. You know, America has a big, huge drug problem today. Big old drug problem today. You have also America deciding, I preached on it a few weeks ago and talking about how America, I believe, is going to go more of a spiritual route, but a wrong kind of spiritualism. right? You got a lot of things even creeping into churches. He mentioned it this morning about yoga. I'll tell you another one to be careful. Be careful with oils, okay? Essential oils. There's nothing wrong with using oils, but if you're using it to increase or help you yourself spiritually, you're on dangerous ground, okay? You got to be careful of things that you use, even medically, that you might use that if it's more of a spiritualism type of use, I would run away from it because that's not of God. So there's a lot of things that he mentioned that's occurring over there in Pakistan and other countries around the world over there, especially when it comes to spiritualism, that I believe is even creeping into the churches today. And we need to be careful of these things because the devil's not stupid and he understands what he's doing and how he can creep into churches. So just be very careful what you allow into your life and have the Lord lead, guide, and direct you in it. Tonight in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, this is another subject that you would think would never creep into a church or affect a church, but unfortunately it does today. So 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse number 1, if you're able to stand, well, please stand for the reading of God's word. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, we're going to read verse 1. Down to verse number 6. Furthermore, then, we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as ye have received of us how ye ought to walk and to please God, so ye would abound more and more. For ye know what commandments we gave you by the Lord Jesus, for this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that ye would abstain from fornication, that every one of you should know how to possess his vessels in sanctification and honor, not in the lust of concupiscence, even as the Gentiles which know not God, that no man go beyond and defraud his brother in any matter, because that the Lord is the avenger of all such, as we also have forewarned you and testified. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this time this evening. Lord, thank you for this gorgeous, beautiful day, Lord. Thank you, dear God, that we can partake of it. Lord, thank you, Lord, for this precious church. Thank you for the very air we breathe. Lord, to have ears to hear and eyes to see and taste buds in our mouth. Lord, we thank you for these things, dear God. Help us never to take them for granted, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that we can walk this evening. Dear God, that we can use our arms. Lord, that we can think and, Lord, meditate upon these things, write things, dear God. And Lord, I pray you'd help us now tonight. I pray you'd help me. Lord, these things are important because it talks about this is your will. It's even our sanctification, Lord, and that we should abound in these things more and more, especially as we see the day approaching. Dear God, help us to be about your will. Help us to be about your business. Help us to live lives that glorify you. Now, Lord, lead, guide, and direct, and we ask these things now in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. So if you go back up to chapter number 3 and verse number 12, Paul tells the church there in verse number 12 of chapter 3, he says, "For the Lord make you to increase and abound in love one toward another and toward all men, even as we do towards you. For this purpose, your love should abound," for verse number 13, "to the end he may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all his saints." I looked at it last week, how we need to start preparing ourselves and be in the process of preparing ourselves for the imminent return of the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to grow in love one toward another. It seems to be a common theme through all that we're looking through these last couple weeks. But the more I go through the epistles, the more I see the emphasis that Paul puts on loving one another. But there's also another theme that you see him mentioning to the churches, and it's that of fornication. Now, you would think you would not have to mention that to the church or the body of believers of the Lord Jesus Christ, but he talks about it here in chapter number 4. He says, furthermore, so he's continuing on what he stated in chapter number 3. He says, furthermore, because of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ with all the saints, furthermore, then we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus. Paul tells the brethren there, I'm beseeching you. He says, I'm entreating you, I'm supplicating to you, I'm imploring you, I'm asking you sincerely to take heed to what I'm getting ready to say next. Furthermore, we beseech you and brethren and exhort you by the Lord Jesus. Exhort means to incite by words or advice, to warn or to caution. So Paul comes in here and he says, furthermore, brethren, but on top of what I've already stated to you in chapters 1, 2, and 3, furthermore, I'm beseeching you and I'm exhorting you by the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm warning you with what I'm getting ready to say. He says that as you received of us how ye ought to walk and to please God, so ye would abound more and more. And I looked at it a little bit this morning in the Sunday school hour. God expects us to move forward in our Christian walk. God does not desire, the Lord Jesus Christ does not desire for us to be in a stagnant state with no growth. We ought to be growing every day in the knowledge of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Furthermore, then, we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you. We warn you. We're inciting you by our words and our advice that as you have received of us how you ought to walk and to please God, so you would abound more and more. Some of the things that I went back through for chapter 1, 2, and 3 that Paul exhorted them or Paul tried to get across to them are these things right here. Walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called. If you look back through chapters 1, 2, and 3, and as we're getting ready to go into chapter 4 here, Paul talks about lowliness and meekness. He talks about long-suffering. He talks about forbearing one another in love. He talks about endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit among the brethren. He talks about suffering afflictions and tribulations. He talks about having faith and charity. He talks about increasing in love one toward another. And he talks about our hearts being unblameable in holiness. These are the things that we ought to grow in and abound in more and more. Take your Bible and flip over. Look at Ephesians chapter number 4 and verse number 1. Ephesians chapter 4 and verses 1 through 3. Look what Paul tells the church over here at Ephesus. Ephesians chapter 4, verse number 1. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, here's that word again, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called. And then look what he looks at the next. With all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism. You see what Paul says? He says here in Ephesians, he says, ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called. And then he lists some things that he desires for these things to abound in our life. Lowliness and meekness. I'll tell you one thing that God hates this evening. The number one thing that I believe God hates and is behind almost every sin, if not every sin, is pride. God hates pride. God hates pride. God hates arrogancy. God hates frowardness. God hates backbiting. God hates these things because it destroys unity. Because when you allow pride in your life, you're living a selfish life that is nothing but about you. A prideful life is a selfish life. A prideful life is a selfish life. Walk worthy. This evening, may we ask God this week if he should allow us to tarry and live through this week. Let us ask God this week to help us to walk worthy of the vocation wherewith we are called. Now flip back over to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. He says in the latter part here, how ye ought to walk and please God so you would abound more and more. Let me ask you this question this evening. Is your walk pleasing to God, and is it abounding more and more? Abounding means prevalent, increasing. Are these spiritual traits? Can you look at your life
and see that some of these spiritual traits are within your life. They might not be where you desire for them to be. Hold your hand there and look over at Galatians. Galatians chapter 5. And look at verse 22. Real quick here. Abounding in these things. Look, Galatians 5:22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love. Can you say this evening, as you examine yourself, I don't need to know. It's not my place to know. But can you examine your spiritual walk and your spiritual life today and say, yeah, preacher, the spirit of love, the fruit of the spirit of love is evident and is in my life. God is helping with me with this. It might not be where it needs to be, but there's definitely the fruit of the spirit of love in my life. Is the fruit of joy in your life? Is the fruit of peace? Is the fruit of long suffering trying to grow in your life? Can you look within yourself and say, yes, it's not where I want it to be. It's not a good piece of fruit yet, but it's there. It's there. And I'm asking God to help me with it, but I know it's there. Is that fruit of long suffering within you this evening? Is the fruit of, look, gentleness? Brethren, these are the things that God desires to abound in our life. Now, look, I said this last week, and I'm dead serious on this. But the fruit is, look, verse 16. I'm going to get to a point on this. Galatians 5:16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Okay? Verse 17. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. You got a spiritual battle going on inside you. Spirit, flesh, they're wrestling with each other, they're fighting with one another, and they're contrary the one to the other. Verse 18. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these. These are the things that the flesh puts forth. Adultery, fornication. First two things, and we're going to look at it a little bit further here as we go through 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Adultery and fornication are the first two things listed about the flesh. Then he goes on to say uncleanness, lasciviousness. All four of them have some way or another can have traces back to sexual things. First four things he lists. Then he says idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of which I told you before, as I've also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But then look what he says next. But the fruit of Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vain glory, provoking one another and envying one another. Keeping and endeavoring to keep the bond of unity. These are serious matters with the Lord Jesus Christ. I said this last week, and I'm going to say it again. It doesn't, look, God's word doesn't return void. I'm just going to put that out there first and foremost. God's word doesn't return void. I could be as a preacher, and I've seen this happen before in my own life, and I had to repent of it. I had to make it right with God, because there's times where I took God lightly in preaching. What I mean by that, I'm not talking about here. When I first got saved and God started doing things in my life, there was an instance where God, where the Lord provided an opportunity for me to preach somewhere. Well, I got a little high in my mind, and I thought, well, Lord, I can handle this. I got this. I can deal with this. And I went into it thinking that I didn't spend as much time in prayer and study as I ought to, because I thought I could just do it. And when I got in that little area, it was in a little house, because an individual was trying to start a church in an inner city. And I went in there, and I got ready to preach. There was only two or three people there. It wasn't very big. He was just trying to start this work. And as soon as I stepped up there getting ready to preach, God says, okay, you got this? Go ahead, let's go. Now, you wouldn't have seen it, but I was sweating
so bad because I realized as soon as I stepped foot behind him, I knew I didn't have God with me. Not that I lost my salvation. If anybody's ever preached, you know there's times where you got liberty and God's with there, and then there's times where you're doing it of your own will and your own flesh.
And I got behind there, and as soon as I got behind there, I started praying to God. I said, God, please forgive me. I'm so sorry, Lord. Lord, I took it for granted. I thought I could just do this in my own strength. God, I need your help now. Please help me.
And thankfully, God was merciful and helped me through that sermon. But I tried to do it in my own strength. Now, I'll get to this point. Anything preached in that message from God's word that was truth, God's going to bear witness to it, and God can use that. But as far as me, he was whooping my tail because I wasn't doing right as his son.
I guess what I'm saying, we can. There's a lot of Christians I've known through the years, and the independent Baptists are bad for it. They base their spirituality off the works that they do. And that's what they rest in as their spirituality. Well, I'm handing out 100 tracts, so I've got to be spiritual. I'm teaching Sunday school, so I've got to be spiritual and right with God. I'm preaching, I'm leading the singing, I'm going door knocking, I'm preaching in the nursing home, I'm going here, and I'm doing this, and I'm doing that. I've got to know God, I've got to be spiritual, when in reality that can be the farthest thing from the truth. Because I've seen individuals who would do these things, and then they would come over to my house and sit in my chair and tell me a dirty joke. I'm not lying. Feel like they need to hand a tract to everybody they talk to, and yet come to my house and tell me some dirty joke and think it was funny. Yet 2 minutes earlier, we were at Home Depot and he's trying to witness to the person about the cashier. What I'm saying to you this evening is this: our works do not make us spiritual. What makes us spiritual and what is a measure of our spirituality is the fruit that the Holy Spirit of God produces in our life. We can go out here and do, but if we got an attitude to our brother or sister in the Lord, forget your works. Your works are dead. Now, Christ might bless that because it's his word, but it's null and void for you because your attitude's in the wrong place, in places where God's putting the emphasis. I hope this makes sense this evening. Can you see that there's love in your life? Can you see that there's joy in your life? Is peace evident? Is long-suffering evident? Is gentleness evident? Is goodness evident? Is faith and meekness and temperance, are these fruits of the Spirit evident in your Christian walk? Are you abounding in these things? Are you walking pleasing in the vocation in which you are called? Are your hearts moving towards being unblameable in holiness before the appearing of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? These are the things that matter in our life. These are the things that matter. And brethren, I believe this. If these things grow and abound in our life, we will be the exact type of soul winners that God desires for us to be, because we'll be walking in the Spirit. We will be sensitive to the Spirit of God when he says, talk, talk. When he says, be quiet, be quiet. Walking in the Spirit, walking in the Spirit, and not fulfilling desires of lust of the flesh. Are these things abounding in your life today? Take your Bible, look over at Romans chapter 8, verse number 4. Romans 8, 4. Romans chapter 8 and verse number 4. Romans 8, 4. Romans chapter 8, verse number 4. Look what Paul states here. He says that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Life and peace comes about from being spiritually minded. Take your Bible, flip over to Colossians chapter 1 and verse number 10. Colossians 1:10. Here it is again. Look what Paul says. He said it in Thessalonica to the Thessalonians. He said it to the Ephesians. He's saying it here now to the church there at Colossae. Look what he says in Colossians chapter 1, verse 10. That ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened. Do you see that word strengthened? Preacher, I feel weak in the faith. Preacher, my spiritual life's not where it ought to be. Preacher, I'm struggling here. I'm feeling weak. Well, here he says, strengthened with all might according to what? To his glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. The reason your spiritual walk may be weak may be because you're not thankful for the things that God's done in your life. Listen, for those of you that were here this morning, if we don't have a lot to be thankful for in America, I don't know what else to show you tonight. For those, I've had the opportunity to go, and I've said it before, by God's blessings and God, to go a lot of countries around this world, all through Africa, South America, the Middle East, over even some over there in the Pacific. There's no country like the United States of America. There is none. Now, I know Israel, that's God's chosen people, that's God's land. Outside of Israel, there is no country like this country. None. There's none that compare to the U.S. None. Every other country, I've made comments to some people I talked about, and Brother Anil, I talked to him today about it. If the Lord would allow me, I love to travel. I love seeing different cultures and learning about different cultures. I absolutely love it. I would love to travel to different areas and talk to different people around the world and learn about them. I love those types of things. But there is no country like this country right here that God has allowed us to be born in and to live in. But I'm afraid, and it's my desire as your preacher and your pastor, to help us to not fritter away what God has given to us. God has given to us a great opportunity as Americans to have His Word and the freedoms to preach His Word and live for Him without the fear, really, of persecution. We have been given a great responsibility as Americans, and the church has dropped the ball. The church has started looking inward. The church has started thinking about nothing about itself and how it can grow rather than being a light and a testimony to the community that they're in. The church ought to be about serving Jesus and others. That's what the church ought to be about. Not to please itself, but to please others and make itself of no reputation, but to glorify Jesus Christ. That is the work of the church, and the church has dropped the ball as a whole across this country. Because individuals within a church are just happy just to live the life they're living and have no concern about a walk with Jesus Christ. I'm saved, I'm good, now let me go just do my life. That's not Christianity. That is not true Bible Christianity. True Bible Christianity is the will of the Father in your life and walking with Him daily and being about His business every moment of your life. Being sensitive to the Spirit. You say, preacher, well, I got a regular job. Wonderful. Exactly. Be that witness and take that opportunity as they arise, as God leads and directs you in your own personal life. God's not called every individual to be a missionary overseas. God's not called everybody to do that. But God has called you to be a missionary wherever you're at. And wherever your life may take you, as He leads you, He desires for you to be a witness for Him. And this I pray. Look at Philippians chapter 1, verse 9. Philippians 1, 9. Look what Paul says here. Paul says in Philippians 1, 9, and this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment, that ye may approve things that are excellent, Now, with that thought in mind, as we go into what we're going to look into next in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, look what he says, that ye may approve things that are excellent, that ye may be sincere and without offense to the day of Christ. Now, what that implies to me is that you can be unsincere and you can be an offense to Christ before he comes back. You see, God's left us in these mortal bodies, and we have a choice and decision every day that we wake up whether we're going to walk in the flesh or whether we're going to walk in the spirit. We can yield to the flesh or we can yield to the spirit. And Paul tells the church there, he says, "This I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment, that ye may approve." Now, he's given you a job, brethren. Paul's given a job to the church here at Philippi. He says that ye may approve things that are excellent. That means you need to make some judgment calls in your life to make sure the things that you allow in your life are approved of God and that you're sincere and without offense till the day of Christ. Now look back over at 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Look what he says next. Look at verse 2. So he talks about how you ought to walk and to please God, and you abound more and more in these things. And then he goes into verse 2 and he says, "For ye know what commandments we gave you by the Lord Jesus." Now, you remember the commandments that came out of Acts, okay? When they went to the Gentiles, the Jews there, the elders there at Jerusalem, sent out to the Gentiles that they abstain from things strangled and offered in blood, and then abstain from fornication. Those were the two main things that they were to preach and give to the Gentiles. Don't fornicate and abstain from things strangled and offered for blood. Blood. Things that are strangled and blood. Stay away from those things. Fornication. He says, "For you know what commandments we gave you by the Lord Jesus, for this is the will of God." You want to know the will of God in your life? He says, "For this is the will of God. Even your sanctification." Sanctification means this: the act of consecrating or setting apart for a sacred purpose. Consecration. This is the will of God, even your sanctification, even what you need to do in order for your life to be set aside for the glory of God, your sanctification, that ye should abstain from fornication. That every one of you should know how to possess his vessel. Here's that word again, in sanctification and honor, not in the lust of concupiscence, even as the Gentiles which know not God. Concupiscence means this: lust, unlawful or irregular desire for sexual pleasure or of sexual pleasure, inclination for unlawful enjoyments. Paul tells the church here in Thessalonica that this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that ye should abstain from fornication. Now, fornication can mean adultery. It can mean illicit sexual relationships. It can mean incest. It can mean idolatry. Fornication can also mean the forsaking of the true God and worshiping idols. That's another definition for fornication. So Paul is warning the church here, saying, in order for you to do the will of God and to live a sanctified life, he says to the church there, "Church, abstain from fornication." Abstain means used chiefly to note a restraint upon the passions and appetites to refrain from indulgences. Abstain from fornication. Take your Bible and look over at the book of Romans, chapter number 1. Romans chapter 1. You say, "Preacher, I'm pretty good with that right there. I've been pure in my actions, and I'm not out there sleeping around and committing fornication with anybody." But look at Romans chapter 1 and look at verse number 26. Romans 1. Well, verse 24, Romans 1, 24. "Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator who is blessed forever. Amen. Now, we're going to get to this when we're preaching through the book of Romans, but I'm going to touch on it a little bit this evening. We're already there. I went out with Melanie the other day on MacArthur Road down there near Home Depot, and there was a big old billboard with a chicken's head on it. What did it say? Something about love me, keep my life, or something like that. Don't eat me or something because I'm a person too or something. And I said, yeah, you'll quicken up being my stomach. Chick-fil-A needs to put a sign right next to him, right? Look, a chicken's a chicken. God made chickens to eat them. I've raised chickens. They produce eggs. You eat the eggs. They're meat. They're meat that God's created for mankind. Timothy talks about, or Paul tells Timothy, be careful of those that are going to creep in to tell you that you need to abstain from eating meats. It's a doctrine of devils. Now, if you're doing it for health purposes, fine. But if you're doing it to be spiritual, it's not right and it's wrong. Just because you don't eat meat does not make you spiritual. Just because you don't eat a chicken doesn't make you spiritual. Right? I'm going to eat a chicken if somebody makes me a chicken. I love fried chicken. I'm not going to be partial. Right? But look what the Bible says. Who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshipped and served the creature, the chicken, more than the Creator who is blessed forever. Amen. God's going to turn them over. God's going to mess with their minds because they're worshipping the creature more than the Creator who is to be worshipped. I care more about a chicken than some lady who's getting ready to kill her baby that's in the womb. See how far we've fallen, and what it flies in the face of God. I'm concerned about a chicken, but I could care less about a partial birth abortion. Think what that says to God. Oh, really, God says. Verse 26. For this cause God gave them up to vile affections. Where there, brethren, this is the United States. For even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lusts one toward another. Men with men working that which is unseemly and receiving in themselves that recompense of the error which was meet. Even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. Now, I want you to pay attention now as we read through this because this is important. Verse number 29, he's going to go through a list here. Being filled with all unrighteousness, here's that word again, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful. Look at this now, verse 32. Who, knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things, look what it says, are worthy of death. What things? The things that I just read. That they which commit such things are worthy of death, and not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. Do you see the latter part of that verse there in verse 32? Not only those that do those things are worthy of death, but those that have pleasures in them that do them are worthy of death as well. I guess what I'm saying this evening is be careful what you allow to creep in your life and you take in as entertainment. There's a lot of things that we'll allow on a television, but if it was done in real life in our home, we would kick it out of our home real quick. There's a lot of things we allow on a television or on a computer screen that we would never allow to occur in our home if it was real life. Never. If all of a sudden two people were kissing in our house, we'd be like, hey, whoa, whoa, time out, stop, I'm not right here. But if it's on a television screen, it's okay. You say, how does fornication creep in? It might not creep in physically, but it might creep in on a computer screen or on a television screen. And that's ungodly. If two people aren't married and you have a watching a show and they're not married and they all of a sudden start going to the bedroom and you're watching it, and yeah, preacher, they're not showing nothing, there's no nakedness, but what it's implying, you know what it's implying, you're giving the green light to it. And God sees that. So though you might not be a partaker of the fornication, you're partaking with those that are fornicating. These things are serious with God. Just because it's on a black box doesn't negate the responsibility that we have by us allowing it on the black box. You say, preacher, what am I to do? Ask God to give you wisdom and direction and guidance. Fornication crept into the church. If I didn't realize as I was studying through this, you know, as a preacher, the times I've preached, I've never preached on these types of passages when I've been asked to preach. I've always preached different subjects. But as a pastor now trying to go through books of the Bible, you're going to touch on things that I've never touched on all the years I've preached. But when I started studying this, I didn't realize how many times Paul mentions the word fornication through his epistles to all the different churches, to the believers in those churches. Fornication, fornication, adultery, fornication, adultery. It must mean it was privily prevalent during that time that he was living. And I'm afraid we're there today in our nation, in our society. Our society does not blush no more. There is no more blushing. A woman can walk down the street with nothing but her bra on and people yawn and keep walking. Where if you had done that 40 years ago, people would have been like, oh, turn your head, son, turn your head. Now it's considered normal and fine. Brethren, do you see how far we've come and we don't realize how far we've come and how we've distanced ourselves from what God says is unholy and unrighteous, but if we allow it. Brethren, I said this before. If all of a sudden UPS showed up at my door and I was upstairs and the UPS man knocks on the door and he opens the door and there's my wife standing in her underwear and her bra, I would have a problem as a husband. And if you had a wife or have a wife and you would see no issue with that, then God help you tonight. But I guarantee you would not allow your wife to answer the door in her bra and underwear with the UPS man. Yet we can go to the beach and people and women can walk around with nothing on, but it's okay because it's the beach. It's not okay with God. It is not okay with God. And you can't tell me it doesn't affect your mind, that it doesn't affect your heart towards the things of fornication and adultery. If not in practical purposes, in your mind. Brethren, the church has moved itself away from God, and we don't even realize how far we've gone. Church, two steps forward, one step back. What was allowed in the 50s, forget the 50s, man. We've blown the 50s off, man. If we go back to the 50s and the people in the 50s could see what the church is doing today, they'd roll over in their graves. If my wife decided to walk out the house and go to the mall in nothing but her bra and underwear, we're going to have some serious talks. But if all of a sudden I put a little sand under her feet and the ocean's right there, it's okay? Absolutely not. Just because there's some water and the sun and some sand, nakedness is now okay. It's not okay in the sight of God. God takes the sin of nakedness. God takes the sin of fornication. God takes the sin of adultery as serious things. Because you know what? I know what I've had to deal with as a preacher and as a brother in the Lord, the things that go on in my mind and how God and how the enemy tries to attack the minds of young men and men as a whole. Woman says, it's my body. I can dress the way I want to dress, but you're going to be held accountable to God. Well, he shouldn't look. Well, you shouldn't put it out there for him to look. God has made a man to go off of what he sees. That's how God made a man. God made a man that he's aroused and he goes off what he sees, and it's not a perverted thing. It's like how God created him. And God created a woman in a special way, and her body is to be for her husband only and not for the eyes of all the world. Brethren, you don't hear this preaching no more in churches no more because most people in the church get offended by it, but it's the truth of God. And I didn't even mean to talk about this stuff tonight. This is not in my notes. But it's serious with God. The pornography industry in the United States is destroying this country as we speak.
Yes.
You want to talk about sexual perversion? When you got little boys sleeping with beagles, we got issues.
he's sleeping with his dog. I dealt with him as a chaplain, a little kid.
Would I love to go to the beach? Absolutely. But I'm not going there because of the fornication, because of the what I would see with my eyes, and I can't handle it as a man. I'm going to be honest with you tonight. I lived down there in Charleston, and I maybe went to the beach the last 15 years, maybe once or twice. And the main reason I didn't go, because my eyes couldn't handle what I was going to see. I couldn't handle seeing the bosoms of the women out there hanging out for all the world to see. I couldn't handle it as a man, and I stayed away from it. Because I knew it would affect me in my mind, and it would affect my walk with God. We want power in our life today. We want to walk with God today. We need to take heed when God is trying to get our attention. Pornography is killing our country. Pornography is killing our churches. I was with a brother this week from this church here. Tell me about three preachers he knows about. The preacher ran off with the secretary. The one of the piano players ran off with a woman. Just a mess. Independent Baptist churches. These things are serious. Paul warns about it in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. He says, "For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that ye should abstain from fornication." Why? Especially nowadays, where you just go to your computer or you bring up your cell phone and you can see half-naked women in an instant. Brethren, please listen to me. It is an epidemic with our young people today. It is an epidemic with the young people that I worked with for 6 years, and how it got started, pornography. So much so to where brother was trying to sleep with brother, friend was trying to sleep with friend, ungodly stuff dealing with as a chaplain. And when I would deal with those young kids and I would talk to them in my office and I would try to build a relationship, and they would start opening up and they would start crying, and they said, "Preacher," I was sitting there and my uncle said, "Come on over and watch this with me." And now they're in the bondage of Satan and pornography. I will say this to you this evening. God can provide deliverance. And God can provide help. But let's not help out the devil with what we allow our eyes to see. Amen. If I'm going down Ray Street here and I'm walking my dog and all of a sudden a woman walks out the front door and she's not dressed appropriately, I can't help that, and God knows that, and God will help me with it. But if I willingly put myself in situations to where I know there's going to be half-naked women, now I'm on my own. And God will deal with me accordingly on it. That every one of you, look what he says in verse 4, that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor. Your body is a vessel of the Holy Spirit of God, and the Holy Spirit of God can be quenched in your life with these things that he's mentioning here in chapter 4. Verse 5, not in the lust of concupiscence. There's other places in the Bible where this word is used, and it means lust. It means unlawful or irregular desire of sexual pleasures, inclination for unlawful enjoyments. I'm not going to go down that road, but if some of you know what I'm talking to you about, it's ungodly and it's not right. But today's society will say it's okay, but in God's eyes, it's wrong. Even as the Gentiles, which know not God, verse 6 now, that no man go beyond and defraud his brother in any matter, because the Lord is the avenger of all such, as we have also forewarned you and testified. Paul gives a warning here. He says, we're forewarning you and we're testifying you that no man goes beyond and defrauds his brother in any matter. I believe it's still in context with what he said in verses 1 through verse number 5. Some commentaries will say that defraud, what it's talking about here in verse 6 is basically don't defraud your brother in any type of business matter. But then some of the commentaries go on further and say, no, he's talking about stealing your brother's wife. You saw it happen with David, one of my favorite people in the Bible. I love David. I love reading about David. And every time, though, I read about David and I get to 1 Samuel, I believe it's chapter 12 or verse chapter 15, Every time I read about David and he starts walking on that rooftop, I say in my mind, no. But look what happened with David, a godly man, a man that God used to write most of the Psalms in your Bible, a godly king, a king that loved God with all his heart, soul, and mind. He put himself in a position on one night and one occasion to where he sees a beautiful woman washing herself and he says he wants her. He doesn't control his fleshly appetites. He sleeps with her. He gets her pregnant and then he kills her husband. Brethren, we're not immune. God may just be trying to help us tonight to keep from ourselves getting into a bad situation. I've seen too many homes, too many families broken up, divorces because of adultery, because of pornography, lives ruined. Paul gives us warning here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. For ye know what commandment we gave you by the Lord Jesus. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that ye should abstain from fornication. Be careful of the lust of concupiscence. God's not called us on uncleanness, but in the holiness, which he says in verse number 7. I'll close with these verses this evening. Proverbs 6. Look at Proverbs 6 real quick, verse 18. I know I've gone a little long tonight. Please forgive me. Proverbs chapter 6, verse 18. Proverbs chapter 6 and verse number 18. And then we're going to go to 2 Corinthians 10. Proverbs 6, verse 18. Proverbs chapter 6, verse 18. Well, verse 16, because these are the six things. Proverbs 6, verse 16, he gives a list here. David gives a list here to Solomon, his son. And he says in Proverbs 6, verse 16, these six things that the Lord hate, yea, seven are an abomination unto him. A proud look, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood, and heart that deviseth wicked imaginations. A heart that deviseth wicked imaginations. A heart that deviseth wicked imaginations. Take your Bible now, last verse, 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3. A heart that deviseth wicked imaginations. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse number 3. 2 Corinthians 10 and verse number 3. 2 Corinthians 10, verse 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3, a heart that deviseth wicked imaginations. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. There's a lot of individuals today within the church, sadly, that have strongholds, the strongholds of pornography, the strongholds of fornication, the strongholds of sexual desires in their life, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. How do you pull down strongholds? Verse number 5, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, and having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience when you're open. All disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. Brethren, I like law enforcement stuff. I like criminology. I like studying those things. I like looking into the mind of individuals and why they do certain things. And some of that stuff fascinates me. But I guarantee you, one of the main things you're going to find with many of your mass murderers or individuals that go down that type of road, especially if it's a man, I guarantee you he's involved in some serious pornography before he gets to that point. I guarantee it. All the studying I've done in some of these mass murders and how they got started, a lot of them got started looking at pornography, and it led to them going out there and killing women. You know what's happened in our society today? a woman is no longer satisfying a man. And when a woman no longer satisfies a man then goes after another man. And then when a man and a man don't satisfy each other, a man starts going after little kids. And you see it happening. I was reading about Greek culture this past week with some of the other scriptures I've been studying. And over there in Greece, back in at the time of Christ and after the time of Christ, it was normal for men to have relations with boys. It was normal in Greek society. And we're getting there today. A lot of it's swept under the rug. You out here and you start dealing with some of these kids out here and how many of them are molested, I would say 1 in 4 has been molested. If not more. You know how many young ladies out here have an STD? Through the roof. I believe, if I'm not mistaken, every 1 in 4 girls that you see at the mall or you're going out has got an STD, if not more today. Almost every young lady that came through the juvenile center had some type of sexually transmitted disease. Some that they will never get rid of the rest of their life. The church needs to be holy before God. Because there's a group of people out there looking for help. There's a group of people out there looking for help. Let me read the verses in Thessalonians again. Furthermore, then, we beseech you, brethren, exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as ye have received of us how ye ought to walk and to please God, so ye would abound more and more. For ye know what commandment we gave you by the Lord Jesus, for this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that ye should abstain from fornication. That every one of you believers in the church of Thessalonica, that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel, his body in sanctification and in honor, not in the lust of concupiscence, even as the Gentiles which know not God, that no man go beyond and defraud his brother in any matter, because that the Lord is the avenger of all such, as we also have forewarned you and testified, for God hath not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this opportunity this evening. Dear Lord, I don't know why I went down some of these roads this night, dear God. But Lord, I pray you'd help us, dear God. Help us, Lord. Help us, dear God, not to just be hearers of the word, Lord. Help us, Lord, dear God, to possess our vessels, the vessels of these bodies that you've given us, dear God. Help us to possess these vessels in sanctification and in honor. Lord, help our vessel, Lord, that you have allowed us to live in, to not be in uncleanness, but to be in holiness. Lord, this thought's come to my mind, dear God. Lord, if we had to walk in the Holy of Holies right now, Lord, could we do so? Lord, if all of a sudden you required of us to walk into that temple and to enter in behind that veil into the Holy of Holies, Lord, is there stuff in our heart that we've kept hidden, Lord, dear God, that we haven't made right with you, Lord? Is there sin that we're involved in that nobody knows about, dear God? Lord, if there is in our lives today, dear God, I pray you'd help us, Lord, to make it right. Lord, that our spirit would be clean, that our body would be clean, and that we'd walk in holiness before you. Help this church, dear God, to be that light. Lord, help there never to be anything in here, dear God, that would quench your spirit, Lord. Help us to live for you. Lord, help us, Lord, help our hearts to be ready for your coming. Lord, that we would be pleasing in your eyesight. Lord, help us to glorify you this week. Lord, help us to be about your business. Lord, help us to do your will. And Lord, thank you again for this precious book. Thank you for precious salvation and eternal life and for a precious Savior. And Lord, we just pray all these things now. Lord, bring us home safely, dear God. Watch out for us on the roadways. Lord, be with those that have to go to work tonight. Lord, keep them safe, encourage them, lift them up, and help them. And Lord, I pray you'd bring us back together again on Wednesday night. And we ask these things all now in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen. Amen, brethren. We're just going to close this evening with that tonight. I love you, and you're dismissed, and Lord willing, see you again on Wednesday night. Amen.